Hallelujah. Today, the title is The Honor Came Again This Year to Ask for Fruit. The Honor Came Again This Year to Ask for Fruit. Today's scripture reading is Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. Luke chapter 13, verse 1 to 9. I'd like to read. Now, on the same occasion, there were some present who reported to him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifice. And he answered and said to them, "Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered on this fate? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who live in Jerusalem? I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." And he began telling this parable. A certain man had a fig tree which had been planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, and did not find any. And he said to the vineyard keeper, "Behold, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on these fig trees without finding any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground?" And he answered and said to him, "Let it alone, sir, for this year too, until I dig around it and put in fertilizer. And if it bears fruit next year, fine, but if not, cut it down." This is the word of God. Today's passage is from the parable of the fruitless fig trees, which we have been studying for the past 2 weeks in our Wednesday service. And I would like to relate to the parable of the fig tree to the events that precede it. Pilate's mixing of the blood of Galileans into the sacrifice, that is the Pilate killing of Galileans in the temple, and the fall of the watchtower of Siloam, which killed 18 peoples. The Jew understood that their deaths were because they had sinned more than the others, and the Lord's response is to give them an explanation using the parable of the fruitless fig trees. Today, I would like to connect these two contents and share the grace of what the Lord is trying to say. The first thing we need to realize is that we don't go to hell because we have more or less sin, but because we all go to hell if we have sin. If you threw a rock or sand into water, they both sink. The wages of sin is death. You can see the Romans chapter 6, verse 23. "And whosoever shall keep the whole law and shall transgress one of its points, he is guilty of all the commandment as of none." You can find out at James chapter 2, verse 10. From the fall of Adam until now, the Bible has been speaking to us about sin because we are all sinners. According to the Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 12, I like to read, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands, there is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside, together they have become useless. There is none who does God a good, there is not even one." Amen. The whole Bible is telling us that if a person repents of his sins, he will see God and live forever with God in heaven. But if he does not repent of his sins, his soul flesh will fall into eternal destruction and damnations. That's what the fork in the road is, whether or not we repent before Jesus, before God, for our sins determines our destinations. God is waiting for all of us to repent. Today, the Lord warns us twice in verse 3 and 5 of our text that those who retain their sins unrepentantly when the time of judgment comes will perish. The word for perish is Greek is apolemiste, which means to be utterly destroyed, to perish. The idea is eternal destruction, hell. At that time, the Jew traditionally believed that all misfortune and disaster were the inevitable result of an individual's actions. Therefore, in the two events described in today's passage, the instant where the blood of those who died while offering sacrifice mixed with the offerings and the deaths of those who were killed when a tower collapsed, they believed that this individual had committed especially more sins. But the Jesus clarifies, you don't go to hell because you sin. You go to hell because you don't repent. All people since Adam have been sinners. They are guilty of original sin inherited from Adam, inherited sin committed by themselves, and the sin committed out of ignorance. However, they do not know that they are sinners. And even if they know that they are sinners, they are unable to resolve it by themselves, which is the condition of fallen humans. Therefore, whenever we see unfortunate events around us, we should not think about why they happened, but rather use it as an opportunity to reflect on our own lives and repent. To emphasize the importance of repentance, Jesus told the parable of the fig trees planted in the vineyard. The literal interpretation of this is that God did not come for fruit, but for repentance, which is why John the Baptist cried out, "Repent." You can find at Matthew chapter 3, verse 8 and 10. I like to read, "Therefore bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance." And the axe is already laid at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. The religious leaders of the day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, thought that this word did not apply to them because they had memorized the law and did everything it said, so they considered themselves to be righteous and not sinners. But the Lord exposed their heart in Matthew chapter 23, verse 25 to 26 and 28. Matthew 23, verse 25 to 26 and 28. I like to read, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence." And verse 28, "Even so you too outwardly appear righteous to man, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." In addition to the religious leader, the Lord spoke of the weakness in the heart of all fallen human since Adam. You can find that at the Mark chapter 7, verse 21 to 23. Mark 7, 21 to 23. This is a very important verse I like to read. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed the evil thought, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of the combatings, and weakness, and as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. All these evil things had their beginning in sin, and sin is what is dragging us downward into death. So Romans chapter 6 verse 23 said, is for the wages of sin is death. So there is no need to blame or criticize anyone. This is the state of all of our heart. The issues of sins must be resolved so that from our heart and our mouth, no more evil words, but only good words will come forth. But people are not interested in our fundamental problem, which is sin. This is the real problem of life. People in the world think that wealth, material things, or power are the happiness that will solve all our problems and satisfy us. And they are trying to get these things by any means necessary. They think that is hope, that is a success. But is it really hope? Is God there? The materialistic idea that if I can get it, I can live forever? The idea that if I can get it, I can have it all? It will be fleeting and gone in a moment. So is the Apostle Paul in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. He's warning us. I like to read that the part, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. The things we see, the things of this world, are temporary, but the invisible world of the world, that the world of grace, is eternal. Let's look at the 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 to 18, the Bible warning to us. I'd like to read from the 17 to 18. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Verse 18, instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. When we go from this earth to the kingdom of heaven, we have no choice but to leave behind all the silver and gold, treasures, houses, power, and honor that we have laid up. So is Jesus warning us from the Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. Matthew chapter 6, 9, verse 19 to 20. Do not lay up for yourself treasure upon earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where neither moth nor lust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. So, what treasure can we lay up for ourselves here in heaven? In the Luke chapter 12, verse 33, the Jesus said, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourself pearls which do not wear out on unfolding treasure in heavens. Surely, helping others is a good deed, but there is something we are laying up in heaven even now, the hope of blessings we have received through the word. Let's look at the Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. Colossians chapter 1 verse 5. Because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. Amen. By believing in Jesus Christ, the word made flesh, who is the kingdom of heaven, we can solve the problem of all our sins and deaths and live with the living hope, a true hope to enter heavens. In order to receive this word of truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the first thing we must do is repent, which is why John the Baptist said in the Matthew chapter 3 verse 2, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. After John the Baptist was imprisoned, Jesus himself proclaimed too. In the Matthew chapter 4 verse 17, from that time the Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus commanded his disciples to preach in the Matthew chapter 10 verse 7, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It is impossible to go to the kingdom of heaven with sin without accepting Jesus Christ. Therefore, repentance is necessary. But this is repentance must not be merely lip service, but must be accompanied by the works of repentance. That is, by showing evidence of repentance in one's life. A repentant soul cannot go. If you don't produce the proper fruit of the repentance, you will be cut down by the axe and thrown into the fire to be consumed. Clearly, the text says, repent or you will be lost. That's why Jesus is crying out now, so that we don't perish. Today, the Lord has come not only to the fig trees from 2,000 years ago, but also to each of you seeking fruit. However, in every area, there seems to be no fruit when Jesus looks. Is there the fruit of dedication? Is there the fruit of prayer? Prayed in order to understand His word? Is there the fruit of hard work? The problem is, without the solution to sin, you are never blessed. The blessed are those who know their sin. If you don't know your sin, you don't repent. Right? You have to be honest with God about your sins. If you don't admit it, you can repent. What was the situation in Jesus' day? Jesus said, Matthew chapter 9, verse 12 to 13, He said, it is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick. And verse 13, for I did come to call the righteous, but sinners. But just as a man seeks a physician when he knows he is sick, so blessed is the man who confesses his sins so that he may find Jesus and have his sins forgiven. Amen. Let's look at the Psalm chapter 41, verse 4. Psalm chapter 41, verse 4. As for me, I said, O Lord, be gracious to me. Hear my soul, for I have sinned against thee. And I give you another one, Psalm chapter 32, verse 1 and 2. The Psalm of David, a masculine. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When you look at the 66th book of the Bible, the issue of being poor or rich, healthy or unhealthy, living a long life or not living a long life, there are not things that God is interested in. The theme of the Bible is sin. Sin. The reason for all the unhappiness in life is because of sin. On the other hand, you can be happy too if you repent of that sin. Dear saints, do you know what pleased God the most? Let's look at the Luke chapter 15, verse 7 and 10. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And verse 10, in the same way, I tell you, there is a joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Amen. What is the master's focus today on bearing fruit worthy of repentance? The fruit of the Spirit through him, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of eternal life. This New Year's Day and this time of year, I want us to take a moment to reflect on whether or not we are producing the fruit of faith that God expects, the fruit that say it was good to behold. Are you bearing the fruit of devoted service? How about the fruit of evangelism? Are you bearing the fruit of loyalty to the office and the position you have been given? May you and I be the kind of people who please God and not man. Amen. Let us pray together.